Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lynn, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guest today is Audrius Polykaitis. He's CIO at UI Health and Dan O'Connor, Vice President and Service Desk Delivery at HC Tech. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, excited for today's discussion. I think service desk is something that impacts a healthcare organization and doesn't get talked about enough. So excited to be diving into that today. But before we go there, maybe you could start out, Audrius. Tell us a little bit about yourself and University of Illinois Health.
Yeah, so UI Health is the healthcare system component of the University of Illinois system. So University of Illinois, of course, a university system with multiple campuses. Most of the healthcare sciences are focused in Chicago. And what we call UI Health is really an amalgamation of the patient care part of the organization, as well as seven health science colleges that we have on that Chicago campus, including, you know, medicine, nursing, pharmacy, dentistry. In other words, I can go on through the whole list. So really is an amalgamation of three missions of research, teaching, and patient care. Most of my time is spent on that patient care delivery part of the organization, the patient care part of the organization.
Awesome. And Dan, how about yourself and HC Tech?
Yeah, so HC Tech is a healthcare service organization really supporting the mission of our clients. So we have a large managed services group that's where I'm part of, the service desk organization. And that's really three pieces, standard kind of technical service desk, a clinical service desk that's really focused on EMR support and support of providers, clinicians, and anybody that really uses the EMR or any of the kind of what I would call bolt-on applications. And then we have a consumer facing line, which is really supporting applications like MyChart or Healthy Life that really their consumers are trying to get access to their patient records.
Awesome. So Audrius, talk to us about your partnership with HC Tech and how did that start and how did you decide to work with them?
Yeah, the formal partnership started in 2019, but if I sort of even go back a few years, how this whole interest in improving service delivery started, it really started with a letter from my CEO, my boss, a very interesting guy. So this was the annual performance review. And, you know, most of us are used to the standard templates where you, you know, fill out ratings. This guy wrote a one-page letter to me. And he was the former dean of the business school at University of Illinois. So, you know, he was cut from a different cloth. It was interesting the time he spent as CEO in our organization, bringing a different set of skills and viewpoints. So he writes this letter. And in this letter, one of the paragraphs is we need to do something as an organization to be more attentive to the needs of our customers and our clients. In other words, to be more service oriented. And that set us down this path. First of all, of course, you know, it's your performance review. You get called out for something and you're like, you step back and say, Yeah, there's room for improvement here. We, at that point, were operating at what I would have called a very traditional help desk model. And it's sort of when you think about the IT team that was working in the organization and thinking about we had an outsourced help desk at that point, it was very much this attitude of, well, throw it over the fence, let the help desk take care of it. It was a failure to recognize that service delivery is all of our responsibility, and we need to think of that team that is out there at the front end interacting with our customers on a daily basis as an extension of ourselves. So this led to us deploying a new ITSM tool. And then this idea of we need to go and now look for a partner that could execute upon a vision. And that vision that we had was a traditional service desk calling in with issues on your computer or some software, right? But then also this idea of a clinical service desk. That was a very key thing for us because traditionally what would happen is a clinician calls in the middle of an appointment during the day, they have a question. And you know what did we, the best we could do for them is really be a glorified administrative assistant, right? We would take down the information, try to capture in a ticket, And then, yes, promptly somebody 15 minutes gets back to them. But by that point, that clinician has moved on to a different patient in a different context and candidly doesn't have the time to have that conversation. So this idea of clinicians being able to call in and getting instant help on the EMR. Now, of course, there's some things that even the clinical service desk can't handle. Changes to the system, but any kind of incident, any kind of explanation, maybe a how-to, guidance on what to look for within the EHR to accomplish the task that they're trying to accomplish. This has proven to be invaluable. So really, we were going to the market to look for a partner, and in our organization, everything we do is through formal RFPs. HC Tech was one of the organizations that responded to the formal RFP. You know, very positive conversations, very positive references from other healthcare organizations that were using them in a similar context. And that's what led to sort of this arrangement. And then, like I said, going live with HC Tech with first the traditional service desk, then the clinical service desk. The first one went live in the fall of 2019.
That's interesting, Aldrea. So it sounds like over the last decade or so, you've transitioned from just the IT service desk, right, to this clinical. And I guess you satisfy both with the same service desk. Is that what you would see as kind of that evolution of the service desk? And do we see it continuing to evolve that way?
In my mind, the service desk ultimately is going to become this thing that for any kind of question or service, in theory, somebody should be able to call in. So could you not imagine a service that, like right now, like we segment out these services artificially in our organization. Here's the facilities number. Here's the, you know, if the temperature is too cold in the room, call this number, right? On and on, right? This myriad network of numbers that you need to be aware of. And of course, you learn these things as you're in the organization for a long sure. period of time, right? Who to call to get something done. But imagine the concept that there is a single front door for any kind of service related items. I could see a service desk evolving to that capacity. It is really the IT people that are in the lead of this. I think we're the first ones who have this concept of thinking of our constituents as clients, thinking of us as delivering services, and always trying to optimize the way we deliver those services. IT folks are in front of this whole concept.
Interesting. Dan, what would you add? And maybe talk to us about what your experience has been with other organizations that had similar needs and similar evolution of these needs as UI Health.
Yeah, so I think that's interesting, Audris's take on a single kind of point of contact. We are seeing a little bit of that, but not a lot. Kind of like the University of Illinois, we see a lot of our organizations that, or a lot of people we're talking to that are looking for ways to enhance patient care and quality of care. And when I say patient care, you know, that's technical service desk as well, because the people calling in, they're directly or indirectly taking care of a patient. Could be, you know, a registration person. It could be, you know, really anybody that's just having any type of IT need. You know, the end person on that is a patient that's getting care. And so whether it be technical or clinical service desk, I look at both as being directly care related. And when we talk to, you know, potential employees, I always start with that. You know, think about the person on the end of the call taking care of your mom or your dad or your grandmother or your sister, because that's what it's really all about. So, you know, when we look at other organizations, I think most of them very similar. They're looking to, you know, keep quality of care high, customer service. We've seen a huge uptick in customer service being kind of as a point in the last year or so. And I see that kind of continuing to grow and really getting complete care as quickly as possible to the person. So,
hey, if I could just provide a comment here, that idea of a single, it's somebody who's involved in the healthcare process, caring for somebody, caring for a human being. We even approach it that we publish one help desk number, right? There I go. I use the old word, one service desk number, right? And when that person comes in, they're given a choice. Basically, you know, hit one for a question on your clinical EMR, hit two for everything else. We don't judge, right? If you pressed one and it wasn't a clinical EMR thing, we're going to help you, right? We're going to get the right people. But the people who sit on the end when you press one are people that are additionally skilled in this EHR, right? Knowing how to navigate those questions, because some of the people who aren't skilled in that will, of course, not be able to be effective in helping, right? But we're going to, whatever choice you make, we're not going to judge you. It's not a physician's only line. It's anybody that has questions about the clinical processes within the EHR can utilize that option, and we'll get them the help that they need.
That's interesting. I mean, I think this evolution is fascinating, because 10 years ago, it probably wasn't true that a desktop issue was actually a clinical issue, right? Because they were probably just checking their email and responding to their boss. Whereas now the devices are integral to the care that's being provided. So that's an interesting evolution in the needs, right? And the impact clinically. So that's fascinating. Andres, maybe I'd love to hear what you were thinking when you decided to select a partner to manage your service desk, because you certainly could have built it in-house. It sounds like originally you were doing it in-house. Talk about that whole, the primary reason you decided to work with a partner rather than just building it out yourself.
The work that HC Tech and others do in this industry, it's hard. And I'm glad that I don't have to worry about that.
That recruiting the people it. Is tough.
and John, right? We are as a state organization, right? We're a university health system that's part of a state university.
Yep.
Unions and organized labor is a big part of what we do, right? So the challenge of staffing something like this, 24/7, 365, and having arguments of who's working which nights, which weekends, which holidays, right? That just becomes very, very consuming. And for us, it turned out to be a very effective answer. Also, when you have a shared service desk, it scales better, right? Mm-hmm. During the day, there's dedicated folks that are helping us. But then when you think about those nighttime hours, those holidays, those weekends, it's a shared pool of people that are supporting multiple clients. Whereas if we were doing it ourselves, we'd be staffing our own people on those weekends. So there was an economics behind it. There also was this idea of sort of operationally, it's easier. And then with the clinical service desk, right, the skills, right? These people need to have an extra level of knowledge of how to navigate, in our case, the Epic EHR, right? Which, you're right, we could have replicated, but it's that question, is it more effort? Is it more work, more money to build it than to quote unquote buy it? We chose the option that it was easier to outsource this, and the outcome has been really positive.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that outcome, how are you measuring success with your service desk and with your partner? Like, how do you approach that measurement with them?
We start with this attitude of guilty until proven innocent, right? So that's the first thing. No.
Is that how CIOs should approach it? That's interesting. It's an interesting conversation.
It's a strategy, right? Okay. So in all seriousness, right? So we do have regular metrics. Let's say part of them are contractually obligated. The standard things you would see, speed to answer, how long was somebody waiting, speed to resolution, right? All these basic
first
call KPIs.
Yeah, you
got it. First call resolution is a big one, right? And I'm gonna focus on that one here in the latter part of my comments. And we get together on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, we had one, what was it, 2 weeks ago, where we have a regular meeting of the leadership from our organization and from HC Tech, and we take a very open look at the metrics and where we have been and where we're going. I'd say, though, let's talk about that first level resolution, because it is a KPI, clearly, right? It's a standard one we'd all expect. But now you ask yourself the question, what goes into that first level resolution? And part of the answer is, HC Tech and HC Tech staff better be doing a good job. But part of that obligation is on us, too. In other words, this idea of knowledge articles, the uniqueness of our setup, our configurations, our environments, it's not possible for a person that's servicing multiple accounts to know this unless I've taken the effort to structure that knowledge. So what we talked about with our teams, again, it's not an us them, it is a we. And we feel our obligation on this is to provide those knowledge articles so that agent can really help that person right when they call. Who wants the call back? Like, who wants to deal with the chasing and the follow-up, right? You want it to be resolved right there. We have an obligation in that. Another thing we've done very successfully with HC Tech is continue to work on quality. Every incident that ultimately gets passed to our internal team, there is a button in our ITSM tool. We use ServiceNow, but there's a button where we can flag an issue and the routing of that issue for quality. We call it flagged for quality. And essentially, it's one of our analysts saying, hey, this was misrouted. It should have been directed in a different place. So now let's figure out why did that happen? And that is diligently looked at by the HC Tech team. And they have specific people that focus on this to understand what was the source of the error? Why was there some misunderstanding? It could be the absence of a knowledge article. It could be that the agent needs additional training or some context wasn't clear, right? So what has been really impressive about this relationship is the willingness of HC Tech to continue to work on that quality and sometimes make the hard decisions that need to be made with regards to staffing, the appropriateness of staffing, and so on.
Andres, I think you're a pretty humble CIO. I don't think we'd hear that from a lot of CIOs. I mean, to be fair, there's some other humble ones as well.
Which part? Guilty until proven innocent?
No, the fact that you're willing to realize that you play a role in the success of your service desk partner as well. Dan, you know, obviously you work with a lot of partners. You know, what are the keys for, you know, having the CIO help you, you know, make success like you're having at UI Health? Is it this humility that Andres is saying that, hey, we play a role as well, or are there other things?
Well, I think that's key. I think, you know, we, as we look at organizations to partner with, I think that partner term is really important because it isn't, you know, when someone calls, Andres doesn't want them to know it's HC Tech or a service provider. We want to be known as the University of Illinois Help Desk, whether that's the clinical or technical team. Mm-hmm. And so partnering and having really that aligned goal towards continuous improvement is really important. And that's really what makes a partnership like this a success. We meet frequently with the application teams, with the technical teams, and those are, you know, they're working meetings where we're digging in and looking at, you know, what happened and why, and how can we make it better? And that's the only way for success. And really, that's the key to using a provider like us, because it's our specialty. And we can bring that forward and say, these are the things we need to make this successful. And, you know, the team, you know, Audris's team has been fantastic to work with. You know, it's certainly not all, you know, roses. There are times where, you know, something goes wrong and we've got to come together, do a root cause analysis and say, how can we stop this from happening the next time? A partnership's the way to do that. So,
you know, if I could add one comment. So Dan, thank you. One of the best things we have going is that HC Tech has a dedicated client services manager that is an embedded part of our leadership team or management team. So, you know, oftentimes when you think about what were the issues at the service desk, you know, oftentimes it's things you did yourself, right? Like, you introduced some change, you did some update or upgrade in your environment, and perhaps you didn't communicate it well, or you communicated and people weren't listening, right? And suddenly you got this robust volume of calls that are coming in or contacts that are coming in. And so, you know, and in previous iterations, we used to forget to tell our service desk that, oh, by the way, Tuesday night, we've got an upgrade happening. So this person is so well known in our organization, he's even got a nickname in our organization. Our users know him, right? I mean, this is how effectively he has managed to make a mark in the organization. And he is part of all of our change control board meetings, right? He's in regular management meetings so that he becomes that conduit, the source of knowledge into HC Tech about what is going on at UI Health.
Interesting. You know, I think one of the big things that you kind of highlighted was the EHR And it's so integral to the service desk since, you know, I like to say that most doctors are spending 90% of their time in the EHR, it feels like, right? Nurses, et cetera. You know, and so it's such an integral part. You know, UI Health switched to Epic, as you kind of mentioned, back in 2020. You started that. Talk about that switch and also like how the demand for service desk changed after you implemented Epic.
Yeah, so we went live with HC Tech before our switch to Epic in 2020. And our switch to Epic in 2020, of course, was compounded by the pandemic. So we were originally supposed to go live in May of 2020. And then as this stuff started sort of exploding and growing, the realization is we can't do this, right? So we waited until September, sort of a lucky lull between the first and second wave of COVID. But as a result, everything we had thought we'd be doing in person, education, training, change management, all of it suddenly became virtual, right? So you come out of this sort of virtual training, not being clear on what did people really understand? What did they not learn? It's the early days of all of us getting used to spending life on Zoom. And I think we weren't as good and as adept at it. So when we went live, we counted on HC Tech and our service desk to help us bridge that gap. And the volumes of calls and contacts went crazy the first couple of weeks, as you would expect. The thing is, people don't quite understand, it turns out, right, because of the virtual education, they didn't quite understand how it was supposed to work. So they think something's not working. And it turns out, no, it's working. You just misunderstood how to go about completing a task. It's the service desk. Obviously, we had other go live support structures around this, but in the long term, it was the service desk that helped us get through that transition. And of course, you know, 2-3 months past that go live, things settled down to a new normal level. But yeah, it was challenging in the initial weeks after the go live, both for us and I imagine for HC Tech, but probably Dan can comment more on what that feels like on the receiving end of all this. You know, all these contacts and phone calls.
Yeah, Dan, yeah. What is that like? Yeah. You know, not just for UI Health. I'm sure you've dealt with this with a lot of clients. What's that like?
And I will mimic, you know, UI was, or UI Health was the first kind of total virtual go live that we did.
Wow.
Yeah. And certainly, you know, a lot of calls, a lot of trying to help providers understand kind of the new workflows and systems. You know, it was challenging, but it was rewarding at the end because we did it and it was successful. We just had another client, interestingly enough, go live, very similar, mostly remote. And I think they were not expecting the volume of calls that they received in the first month. We're a little over a month in now and starting to level out a little bit, but we're somewhere in the 4 to 5 time.
The usual call rate.
The usual call rate.
Wow.
It's, you know, and I will say, and certainly not me, it's the people on the phones every day, but the patience, the understanding, I think it's super important that we have people that know not only Epic, but know healthcare and know kind of what the people on the phones are going through. They're very empathetic, very patient with callers. And they help try to de-escalate those situations at times.
Interesting. Is that the future? Is this more virtual? Like, I mean, do you see that continuing? It sounds like you're working with a customer already, or are we finally back that we can do some in person? How do you see that evolving with the go lives?
I do see it shifting back to in person go live support. I think, you know, you can't minimize that kind of face-to-face personal touch with a new system. And honestly, you know, you go live with a new system, Audrey, you'll probably get a chuckle out of this, but it sometimes you think people forgot what they did yesterday because the technology changed a little bit. And so having that person there to say, no, this is, you know, you just, you know, you go here for that, or help them through that is critical. We can do a lot of that remote, but I think day one, we'll come back to mostly in-person
Interesting. Support. Well, Andres, you know, you talked a little bit about the future of Service Desk and kind of the evolution of where you'd like it to go in the next 5 years. What else do you see? And also maybe talk about kind of the role of AI and automation in the Service Desk, and how do you see that involved over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, how can we have a conversation without introducing AI?
We can't publish it if we don't see AI, right? Yeah.
Okay, so you know, very naturally, one of the obvious points of interest here is, what is the role of the chatbot, right, with respect to this? Now, I am a little bit skeptical when I think about the clinical service desk and the word that Dan just used about empathy. Right. So oftentimes it's a person calling, a clinician calling, frustrated, not being able to do the right thing for a patient. In that situation, I'm not convinced yet that it's a chatbot that can best handle that. Maybe future chatbots, but not non-empathetic chatbots that we experience today. For other things, yeah, chatbots will be great. They will essentially take some of that traffic off the human beings, right? The agents. Another thing that I'm particularly interested in is, let's say, the application of large language models. I know, John, you're very into ambient documentation, and I agree with you, it's a future. Imagine the same idea that there is an ambient system listening in when that call initiates with the agent. And right away, right, it's starting to figure out what this is about, and it's starting to pull from the knowledge base of what possible things this could be, and starts focusing in. And by the time you're a minute or two into the conversation, you've got three or four solid capabilities as far as the knowledge base, right, of what the agent should be looking at in order to help that person. So I think it's going to be that same strategy of the favorite word we see these days, co-piloting, right? We're co-piloting everything. I can imagine this idea of co-piloting the agent with the with this augmented intelligence, essentially being able to look for things without having to do explicit search, being able to tee them up in order to help that person. But fundamentally, it is about helping somebody. And in healthcare these days, helping is still about that personal experience.
Yeah, and you can co-pilot the person calling in, or you could co-pilot the agent that's answering, I think, right? Like, I think either one could be appropriate.
Yeah.
Dan, what else would you add? And what are you seeing with your customers and working on to better service them?
Certainly AI is all over the place right now.
You're going to have to support the AI solutions soon too, right?
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's another interesting.
Yeah. So it's interesting that what Audris mentioned about AI kind of listening in. We are actually piloting a tool. We just started piloting a tool that is AI upfront listening in, to try to create trends, both on the caller type as well as from a customer service perspective. So I do see that as something that'll be there. It'll be there this year with us. We're using AI in a couple other ways as well. So we use it on the back end. All of our calls post call get run through analytics. I guess it's not really AI, but it's analytics to look for trends, to look for keywords. You know, anytime somebody might say, I want to talk to a supervisor, or, and it also looks for tone inflections. Like, was the caller angry? It'll flag those calls, and we use those as opportunities from a teaching perspective. How can we teach our agents to do a better job with those calls and help the user? We're also using an AI summary at the end of our calls. So we have a listener that listens to both sides of the conversation. And this is something we started in late last year, but it creates like a 5 to 7 bullet point summary at the end of the call that we can then paste into the call record within the ITSM to provide really complete documentation. We've also looked at, and I don't know where this will go, but piloting voice for identification, not as a end all, but as another method. You know, certainly cybersecurity is on the forefront of everybody's mind. And we're seeing a lot of people using social engineering to be able to answer those questions. Multi-factor is certainly one thing that stops a lot of callers. But if we could do a voice verification as well up front, I think that's important. I think pushing as much to self-service and self-help, whether it be via chat bot or just you know, through a self-service portal, I see that as being big. I think, you know, looking for ways to reduce call volume and cost and have users help themselves. I do think, and I'm interested in what predictive analytics will do for us. And is there an opportunity for analytics to maybe predict and head off an issue that we see coming? And I mentioned it before, but, you know, the customer service, you know, it's not just about fixing somebody's issue. It's about how you fix the issue and how you handle that call. You can fix an issue and have a caller go away not happy, and you cannot fix an issue and have a caller be like, this person's going above and beyond to help me. So I think that's, to me, those are kind of where I see things going.
Interesting.
It's exciting.
Yeah, so. I was going to say that is the beauty of AI. Like, you know, a lot of solutions that come to market, you look at it and you're like, how do I apply it? You know, we've already said 10 different AI solutions that could benefit, let alone, I mean, you talk about sentiment analysis. What if you apply that sentiment analysis and you realize, oh, that worker's taken 10 calls where the person was angry. Maybe they need a break, you know, like, you know, maybe they need some support, whatever. You know, it's just so fascinating how AI can be applied so many different ways. Well, thanks so much, Dan Audrius. I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us about service desks, both what's happening now at UI Health and also, you know, a nice look into the future. And thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcast application. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.